We got David John on the phone. And David, seems like we've been forever since you and I've talked, but I guess that's a good thing because that maybe that means that things are calming down COVID-wise, you know?
Yeah, definitely a good thing, and things are calming down when you look at the number of positives. I know, I look from week to week, and last week, last Sunday to 2 days ago, Saturday, there were only two new cases in Chippewa County, and that's by far the lowest number in a week we've had in a long time. I mean, there was a point where we were, in the hundreds, 120 or more a couple weeks in a row. So to only have two is great. And even through our drive-through testing, we're seeing a lot less numbers, a lot less people coming through, and so that's all good news. And I think we've only had one patient in the last 4 weeks at War Memorial that had to be admitted for COVID, so that's good as well.
Sure. And David John, CEO of War Memorial Hospital, joining us here this morning. And we're, just so everybody knows, we're on now a once a month check in with Dave as far as things that are going. And again, eventually it seems like maybe by the time summer's done, maybe we won't have to talk about COVID anymore. We can just talk about what's happening at War Memorial Hospital. But how are vaccines going? I know that it seems like the last time we talked, the employees at the hospital, you're up around close to 70% or so, or maybe beyond that. Where are you at now?
Yeah, we're for the hospital employees, we're at 75%, which is good. Mm-hmm. If you look at the community, the numbers from last week's meeting was that we're at 52%. I know the state is at 60%, and the goal is to get to 70%. I was on the state call this morning, and they've broken down, what we call the vaccine hesitant now, the people who aren't getting the vaccine and what their reasons are. And they've looked at their databases and said that of the 40% of people in the state that haven't received the vaccine, the biggest, there's three or two categories that are the biggest. The one-third of those people in that biggest category are either Latino or blacks, and two-thirds of that biggest category is whites in rural Michigan. So the biggest number of people are basically rural Michiganders who are white. That would probably hold true with our numbers being only 52% of our community being vaccinated. And, the vaccine is safe and effective. And, now the issue is how do we get more people to get vaccinated, because we need to be proactive instead of reactive. And, now is our chance to be proactive before the fall gets here and the flu gets here again, and maybe COVID picks up again. I know the state also shared information that they're, one of the hesitancies about it is, people say, well, I don't want to get it now because how long is it going to work? And, what the federal studies are showing right now is that the testing of this vaccine started 9 months ago. We weren't able to get vaccine until like end of November or December, but the trial started 9 months ago, and then those people who were part of that trial 9 months ago, they still have not lost their antibodies, so there's no need for a booster at this point.
Sure.
They're very positive that there's just not going to be like a cliff that everybody falls off of because the antibodies are just gone. So that's good news. They still don't know if, this is going to need to have a yearly shot or not. But all the information so far is looking good.
Is that how they would determine whether we needed a booster, is to test those people that were maybe in those initial trials for antibodies, you know, however many, you know, like you said, 9 months, a year down the road, and as long as they're still showing antibodies against the virus, that would determine we wouldn't need a booster for the general population until sometime that they maybe don't see it?
Yeah, that's part of it, but they would also look at how many breakthrough cases are happening too. So in what they, how do you define breakthrough? Breakthrough is somebody who was fully vaccinated that still got the virus. So basically they're saying the virus broke through the vaccine. So if all of a sudden you see more and more people who were fully vaccinated get the virus, that would be a sign that, well, maybe there needs to be a booster at that time. But usually, you know, that's going to happen in those people that are part of the trial to begin with, and they have a little bit of time to get that out to the rest of us. So, you know, it's still new. It's you know, there's still a lot of unanswered questions, but the questions that have been answered are that the vaccine is safe and it is effective. We see that every day throughout the healthcare system in the state of Michigan. How, you know, if you're vaccinated, you have protection. You know, it's 99% effective against hospitalizations, and it's 100% effective against death. So, you know, those are two pretty high statistics that people should consider.
We're talking to David John, CEO of War Memorial Hospital. David, last time we talked, it might have been the last time we talked, it's been a while, you were mentioning that the hospital had quite a few vaccines still in storage and everything. Do you still have that kind of a stockpile of vaccines? And if we're not seeing a lot of people taking the vaccines, what's the plan to do with those vaccines? Send them out to other areas that need them, or what?
Yeah, actually, we still do. We probably have close to 5,000, but we're not alone. Every hospital, every health department, I think every tribal health department has extra vaccine, and there's not really anybody we can send them to. You know, the only, because nobody else needs vaccine either, other than in different countries, and that's what we're trying to do. We've been working for about a month or two now on trying to get the vaccine to be allowed to be sent over to Canada so that you know, our friends and neighbors over there can get their vaccine, because there's a lot of them that still haven't had the vaccine.
Right.
And at first it was, you know, some issues with, you know, the health ministry and Algoma Health over there, where, you know, they weren't going to allow people to come over unless they went under strict quarantine when they went back, even if it was only just to get the vaccine. But, you know, we've worked through that on that end, but now it's the border who won't let these people across to get the vaccine, because that's not considered essential travel. And it's not the individual Border Patrol people here who do a great job. It's the federal policy that needs to be changed in order for them to allow those people to come across, because, you know, they say it's not essential travel at this point. So we're still working on it. It's kind of a pain in the fact that, you know, we have this extra vaccine, and even if it were just for our, you know, our Canadian employee family members to be vaccinated so that they're even safer when they go back home, so that they can make sure they can come to work. You know, there is one little piece of good news that happened last week, was that, you know, Sioux Area Hospital, who had imposed the restriction that nurses could not work at both hospitals once the pandemic started. They've lifted that restriction now for fully vaccinated nurses. So we had about 8 to 12 nurses who had to choose, or 8 to 12 that chose to just stay at Sioux Area Hospital. So now, you know, those nurses that are fully vaccinated can start working at War Memorial again, and Sioux Area Hospital. So that'll give us a little better level of staffing and more flexibility for those nurses, because they are essential travel, so they could come back and forth. It wasn't the border that was restricting that. It was, you know, Sioux Area Hospital's policy.
So are you envisioning that if you cut through all this red tape, that you would do a vaccine clinic similar to the big ones that we've done, like at Lake State for Canadians, if it can work out?
Yeah, if we could do that, I mean, you know, we would do that, and I know both of the tribal partners, you know, Bay Mills Tribe and Sioux Tribe are interested because they have First Nation individuals over there that they've been trying to get their vaccine to as well, and they can't even get it to their fellow tribal members over there. So, you know, to have that, if the border would open for these people to travel over for, you know, for a vaccine and that's it, come over for the vaccine and go back. Mm-hmm. I'm sure we could set up a big clinic to help those people out. But right now, you know, we thought, well, what if we took the vaccine into Canada? What if our U.S., you know, our U.S. workers, because we could get back, but you can't transport a federal asset into a different country, and that's what the vaccine is. It's a federal asset.
Mm-hmm. I had mentioned to the health department, I had a dream during this whole thing that you guys set up like a big tent right in front of the border station on the American side and just had the Canadians come across and get their vaccine and then just not even come in all the way into the country, just go back around and back up the bridge and back over to Canada. So,
yeah, we looked at that, and that's not allowed.
Oh, okay. So. Right. Well,
we tried.
I mean, I guess it's great that you're talking about it again, because again, there's so much, you know, over the past 15 months that Americans haven't been able to go over to Canada, enjoy all the stuff that's in Sioux, Ontario, vice versa with our Canadian friends haven't been able to come over. We've got a house out in Brimley and our next door neighbors are Canadians. They haven't been there in 15 months, you know? And so, you know, so there's a lot of people that come over here, the camp and do other things and play golf here. And it's, you know, it's frustrating on both ends, you know? So whatever, I know what it's great that the there's an effort afoot to try to make that happen so that the Canadians can get vaccinated. So.
Yeah, we're trying all we can to do that.
Sure.
And again, you know, you would think if you're trying to do something that's going to make our community safer, that everybody would be on board with it. And I think all the local people are on board with it. It's just you know, there's federal programs both on the Canadian side and the U.S. side that are limiting what we can do.
Sure. So now it seems like, again, on our side, you know, we're getting closer to that magic number of 70%. We're a little bit closer, and we still got a ways to go. But how is that affecting things at the hospital? Are you still requiring visitors and people when they come in to get tested and to get wear a mask and limiting visitors and things like that?
Yeah, we're required by the executive orders to still require masks within the hospital, so all of our staff and visitors need masks. There are some things we're looking at where if somebody is fully vaccinated, they wouldn't have to have a test.
Mm-hmm.
So we're trying to determine, you know, what those procedures would be. Where, you know, if you can document that you're fully vaccinated, you wouldn't need a test. But other than that, it's pretty much as usual as it has been. The only difference is because we've seen such a reduction in the number of tests, we're closing our drive-through testing facility today.
Okay.
You know, because we'll be able to accommodate those people that need tests through local physician offices or through our community care clinic. That would be the first choice. If somebody needs a test, to come to the community care clinic. Also, there's a whole lot of other testing programs around now. You know, Lake States Health Clinic has testing.
Mm-hmm.
Both tribes have testing. The health department, has testing. There's more and more home tests.
I saw there's home tests comes out now. It's like it's a little late for those. I saw a commercial for those last night. It's like, well, where were these, you know, 6 months ago? So.
So, you know, it takes us quite a bit of resources to keep that drive-through line going. Mm-hmm. And so we closed it as of today. And what we did find out is that we didn't realize this, but there were some people coming and picking up the kits and bringing them home and kind of hoarding them. And,
we
had a couple people today come back to drop the kits off, and the line was closed. And so they were wondering, what do we do with it? Well, we didn't expect people to take them home and stockpile them.
Mm-hmm.
But if you do have a test kit and it isn't used, and you know, you want to bring a sample in, you would drop that off at our community care clinic as well. And there'll be more information about it, because we just assume when people were going through the drive-through line, they just pick up their test kit, do it right then, put it back in the box, and go. And didn't realize there'd be people. And who knows? Maybe there's some people that said, "Okay, I'm going to pick one up, and every week I'm gonna test myself." But we're working through those details right now.
How do you have a number of how many tests you did through that drive-through site since you opened it up?
Oh, I'm sure it's thousands. Even now we're doing somewhere between 40 and 50 tests a day. But a lot of that is for our surgical patients. But back at the peak, we were probably doing 150 tests a day. I know we got to 200 at some point. So 5 days a week. Probably 5 to 10,000 at least, maybe more by this time.
I know that one of the things that you've said over the course of this whole pandemic, Dave, is that the wearing of the mask has really helped prevent like the flu. There wasn't really a big outbreak of flu and other things. Do you envision maybe going forward that the hospital would just always have a policy to get visitors or whatever wear masks just to make sure that nothing gets into the hospital from this point forward? Or
I guess it's possible. What we're looking for is, that the state or the federal government needs to put out a consistent policy for everybody to follow, because you don't want any policy that you make locally to be more strict, where that would drive people to use other hospitals someplace else. So what we want to make sure is that, hey, state, if you're going to mandate this, it's consistent through all the hospitals in the state. There's talk about the state mandating the vaccine for healthcare workers. Well, that would be best if the state did it or the federal government did it, because if you pick and choose, some hospitals are going to have mandated vaccine for their staff, others aren't. Well, you're going to see people at the hospitals that are mandating a vaccine jump ship and go to another hospital that doesn't, if they truly don't feel like they should get the vaccine. Mm-hmm. So there's a lot of issues that can come. That can develop from those type of individual rules, and we're just trying as an industry to make it consistent throughout the state.
Hmm. Well, like I say, I don't know. How does it feel to you? Does it feel like we're kind of coming to the end of this whole thing? I mean, you and the staff there at the hospital are, see it more firsthand and deal with it on a daily basis. Does it feel like we're this is slowly starting to wrap up?
Well, I guess it feels the same as it did last summer. We knew that things were gonna decrease because of more sunlight and the ultraviolet rays that don't let the virus spread as much, and so we had very few cases all last summer. I guess the tale will be told when we get to October and November and see if there's any increases at that point. But I feel a lot better about it because, there's at least 52% of our community that's vaccinated. So as far as a surge or, overwhelming the healthcare system, the more people that get vaccinated, the less likely it will be that the healthcare system is overloaded. So that's good news. We just like to see our numbers up higher. And, I know it's a different world now, but there have been plenty of vaccines that have been developed over the years, and the one I look at mostly is the polio vaccine, which was back in the 50s, and there was a lot of vaccine hesitancy back then when you talk to people that are in their 80s right now. And it was I think it was Elvis Presley who went on live radio or live TV or whatever and got the polio vaccine, and that turned the corner to show people that it was safe. And we've eradicated polio from the United States for the last 50 years. Well, we could do the same with COVID if everybody got vaccinated. So that's really what we're pushing for and trying for, because life would be so much better if we could eradicate that and not have to worry about it.
Dave, let's shift gears a little bit, unless there's anything else you want to talk about COVID, but I know there's a lot of things happening at the hospital that have nothing to do with COVID. There's lots of, you got some new doctors that are coming in and some other exciting things that are happening at the hospital.
Yeah, we a new pain management specialist started last week or 2 weeks ago, Dr. Michael Warren. He is taking the spot that Dr. Daha used to have when he left in October, so we're fortunate that Dr. Warren has decided to come to Sault Ste. Marie. He's seen patients starting today, he's in the Community Medical Center building, which is the older medical office building that is directly to the south of the hospital's main entrance. Mm-hmm. So we're excited to see him join us. We also have a OBGYN, Dr. Sora, coming in I believe August or September, so that's exciting as well. One of the things that we're asking patients from our patients, so two different patients there, mm-hmm. but tomorrow we go live with a system upgrade called Expanse that will allow our physicians better access, more flexible access to both not only a patient's inpatient records but also their outpatient records. It'll all be in one record. Right now they have to log into two separate areas, so there'll be some growing pains with that, as there always is with software updates.
Sure.
But we think it's going to be a lot better once that that update gets installed tomorrow. But there may be some waits for the first couple days as the physicians get used to the differences in the system and get more comfortable with it.
I know that one of the things that you have too, and I've had it for a while, but that I've just started utilizing it, is the patient portal, which I think is a great thing for patients to actually access their own medical records to see what's in there and see results of tests and other things like that. It's kind of a neat way to check that out.
Yeah, it is, and it's really easy. You just have to come in to medical records or call medical records, and they'll send a link, and you got to sign the paperwork to allow mm-hmm. you to do it. I think it's one signature or something like that, and then from that point on, any tests, anything that you get done at War Memorial is uploaded into that portal within 24 hours or as soon as the result is complete. So it really gives you a lot of on-time information. I caution people to tell them, as you're looking at it on real time like that, and if you haven't talked to your physician yet, make sure you before you get too upset with what the results might say, that you have a discussion with your physician. But we're trying to change systems to make sure physicians, at least in when they're doing biopsies or other things, that they're able to get the result and talk to the patient before the patient sees it on their portal. But that's a federal law now that, we used to delay those results 48 hours or whatever so that we would give our physicians time to talk to those patients. But now the federal government says, no, yeah, as soon as they're available, they have to be put out on the portal. Hmm.
And I know we're going to be talking to Marla Van Summeren next week about it, but you've got some medical assistant training that's going on at the hospital to get some new staff members trained on being a medical assistant, which is kind of like a nurse, right? I guess.
Yeah, and that's Marion Van Summeren.
Oh, I'm sorry. Sorry.
Yep, Marion. And we've basically, a medical assistant is somebody that comes in and, takes the vital signs and, rooms the patient and, helps the physician when there's, follow-up needed or whatever. So, yeah, they're kind of the right-hand person of a physician, and just like a nurse is. And, there's not enough nurses around these days, so you have to train medical assistants to fill that role, and this program is helping a lot of local people who want to get into that business train and get their certifications and all while they're working and earning a paycheck.
Mm-hmm. Anything else happening at the hospital that you want to let people know about before we let you go, Dave?
No, we continue to recruit more physicians, and we got a couple more in the hopper right now, but haven't officially signed on the bottom line yet, so we really can't make any announcements about
sure.
them, but hopefully by next month we'll have a few more to be able to share with our community.
Well, Dave, we appreciate the update and all the information, and not just today, but again over the past 15 months, you've been, I think, a blessing to obviously to me and to the community for all the information that you've been able to give us over the past this whole pandemic and everything. And I know a lot of people come up to me and appreciate it when they say, "Boy, I'm really glad that you're putting those interviews on with Dave, because it's given, you know, some the real information out there as opposed to some of the rumors that are." Or things that people read online that aren't true, and I think a lot of people appreciated all the insights and information that you've passed on over the past 15 months. So just thanks again for that, and we'll look forward to talking to you again next month.
All right. Thanks, Mark.